This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. And we start with Greg Bowser, President and CEO of the Louisiana Chemical Association, now in his fifth year. His group, LCA, represents the interests of the chemical manufacturing companies throughout our state. It's in a partnership of Louisiana's chemical plants, their suppliers, contractors, and vendors. And Greg, many know him, of course, for his days as an LSU football stalwart. And he is also part of the broadcast team for the Fighting Tigers. And he is here today primarily in his capacity as head of the Louisiana Chemical Association. How many members do you have, Greg?
We've got over 60 members of our association and our sister association, the vendors and suppliers. We've got about 850 of those.
So lots of people are involved, thousands of workers, literally. Yeah. It's one of the biggest industries in the state. And as I mentioned, it had to be affected adversely by what happened last week.
It was. We had we're huge users of natural gas, and when you have a cold snap like that and it puts a heavy demand on the utility companies, they use a lot of natural gas to make electricity in their process. So it's a heavy demand on the natural gas. We saw a curtailment of some of the intrastate natural gas, and then the real hard freeze came, Jim, and all of a sudden, it started impacting natural gas all over the place. We couldn't, a lot of our natural gas suppliers get their natural gas from the Haynesville Shell, and things started to freeze up. And we saw its dramatic impact, with some plants had to really come down and idle and run at half speed.
Were you able to get workers to and from?
Yeah.
Were they able to show up for work?
The workers were fine. Getting them back and forth were fine. But the big issue was the plant being able to operate at a certain capacity. And the thing about a chemical plant is you just can't go from 100 to 0 very quickly. You have to take your time to bring down a plant that's that's hot like that. And but it worked out. We so far as of today, there are no incidents that I know about. So all went well.
Well, in the COVID age, we have saluted the frontline workers, doctors, nurses, support workers, people who are in harm's way, who have literally risked their lives to protect us and to help us. But last week, when most people were taking what amounted to a vacation, people at these chemical plants, they showed up for work, and I think they should be saluted as well.
They should. We've got some tremendous workers. They worked through that bad weather, and then, you know, a year ago this time, we were the virus was really just taking off and hitting, and we were kind of starting to do things, and we were very proud of our workers overall, because we didn't have a lot of spread. We didn't have a lot of people infected, so they did a great job and had to work through that to make some of the products that helped us to fight this virus.
How have you protected the workers during COVID-19? When one person gets it, a lot of these people work closely together. It's often a dangerous situation. How have you done?
It is. What we did, a lot of our folks, we shut our plants down to the point to where limited access. Only people who had to be there would come in with testing. A lot of social distancing and a lot of isolation, keeping folks out. The ones that, for the most part, people in our facilities that ended up catching the virus, it was usually from a community spread, something that happened when they left work. So we were able to do that by just really monitoring it, and the testing going in and out of the facilities and limiting access was a big one.
877-217-5757 for Gregory Bowser, who's a four-year letterman at LSU. He started against USC in his freshman year. He was a redshirt freshman in 1979. He enrolled in Tigertown at the Old War School in 1978. Later in the hour, we'll hear from the first African-American athlete at LSU, Lloyd Wills, who enrolled in 1969, first to participate on a Tiger team. He was an All-America track star. And speaking of track, a listener, this is Hal in Monroe, mentioned something that we talked about a few weeks ago. Rod Milburn, the great hurdler, Olympic gold medalist, he was working at a plant and fell in a vat, tragically killed at 47 years old in 1997. That shows that here's a guy who's certainly an able man, and I knew him. He wasn't a druggie. He just had an accident and died. It's a dangerous situation sometimes at these plants.
It is dangerous, and we do a lot of things that to promote safety and make sure that our folks are not in harm's way and don't take any chances. So that's a big thing that we do, and a lot of safety protocol that goes into working and even entering a chemical facility.
Now, in this age, we have a new presidency, and quite often Democratic presidents are stricter, or at least try to be, when it comes to environmental regulations all over the country. The Biden administration indicates it will be taking a stronger line on these kinds of things than the previous administration. How does that affect your industry?
Well, you know, we're watching it, Jim. The one thing that we're encouraged by is that the president talked a lot about following the science and letting the science dictate what you do. If he does that, we don't have a problem because the science will take us to the right place because we want to be safe. We want to operate in a safe manner because our employees are our biggest assets, and you don't want to put employees in harm's way because you're not going to be very successful for very long.
It's going to be a case in which you're trying to protect the workers. They make a good living.
Right.
I would imagine just about everybody who works at a chemical plant makes above minimum wage.
That's correct.
What's the average wage?
The average is about $80,000 a year plus benefits.
And that does that include overtime?
No, that's just straight time.
Straight time.
Yeah.
So $80,000 a year.
Yep.
So working at these plants, I mentioned the sacrifices, but $80,000 a year, that's good money everywhere in the country.
It is good money everywhere in the country. And, you know, the thing about it is one of the things that I think makes a big difference is the pay, certainly, and the benefits. But the benefits are big because to have health insurance and to be able to take care of your family, you know, that's one of the things I learned. And, you know, when you start having kids, health insurance and seeing a doctor and doing those things are important.
It's a high-paying job, but it has risks. And, of course, we've had emissions that have been a concern. Mm-hmm. How's it going on that front? Is it getting better?
It is getting better. We've seen our emissions come down by 70% over the last 30 years. A number of our facilities are committed to zero emissions in many cases in trying to get there. I think the governor has just appointed a task force to look at climate change. We're looking at that. A number of our plants are already doing that. Some of the measures they're putting in place, reducing their emissions. So it's coming down. We want to get it down because the better we can get the emissions down, it's not just better for the community, but it's better for our facilities as well.
Now, the chemical corridor includes all kinds of activities. Do you also count, for example, ExxonMobil is a member?
Yes.
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 Oil is?
ExxonMobil has a chemical side to it as well. There's a chemical plant in Baton Rouge. Everybody focuses on the refinery, but there is a chem plant in here as well.
Okay. And it's a big part of the Baton Rouge refinery.
Big part of the refinery, yes.
Yeah. Huge part of the refinery. What about the ITEP proposal? The governor on his show last week said he supports it. Are you supportive of what ExxonMobil has offered?
Absolutely. We are in support of it. You know, the thing about that is that's a proposal that Exxon needs to be competitive within its own company. So that just shows you where we are today, because if you look at the proposal, Exxon's trying to make sure that they can make a presentation to their higher-ups and they make the decision to make that investment to modernize here in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, so that they can keep that facility viable and competitive within ExxonMobil. So just that to show you how competitive it is.
We're visiting with Greg Bowser, and he played at LSU from 79 to 82, four-year letterman. He was on that great team in 1982 that went to the Orange Bowl and lost three games, but all of them very close.
Yeah.
1 point to Nebraska. 3 to Tulane and 3 to Mississippi State, and beat Florida, Alabama, and Florida State all in the same season, the only LSU team to ever do that. And he went to work about a decade, almost a decade later at LCA, hired by Deacon Dan Bornay, the voice of the Valley. And 25 years later, he became the president and the CEO. And recently, the president of the United States uttered those words, Cancer Alley, which we don't like to hear in Louisiana, and some believe it's an unfair knock. Why do you believe that's, at the very least, an exaggeration?
Well, I think what happened 30 years ago, Jim, they started that Cancer Alley thing kicked up, and then there were some scientists both at LSU, at the Tumor Registry and other places that looked at it and said, you know, the incidence of cancer are no more prevalent there than they are anywhere else in the state. In some of the parishes, it's less. And so I think it's a misnomer. And then that went away, and now it's back. And we're going to have to go back through this again. I think that spending a lot of time doing that, things like that, takes away from us getting together and trying to solve the real problems.
Gene in New Iberia. Gene, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Bowser.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to get your opinion on nurdles. Are you familiar with them?
I am familiar with them.
Tell me what you know about them. Thank you.
I know that nurdles are a residue from some of the manufacturing process in the plastic area, and so they're been found in different places, and people have tried to address the issue of nurdles. And I think in New Orleans there was an issue with some nurdles that fell off of a barge or something like that.
We'll be back. 877-217-5757. We'll return in 90 seconds with Greg Bowser. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. For Greg Bowser, former LSU football great, who's head of the Louisiana Chemical Association, has been for the last 5 years, president and CEO, and the pride of Franklin, Louisiana, which produced a governor named Mike Foster. David in Shenandoah. David, you're on the air with Greg Bowser. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jim. Mr. Bowser, I was just curious that, you know, we need the river water for processes for chemical manufacturing. Do you know what kind of processes are in place for when they withdraw the water and then when they get rid of the water to lower the silica levels or other things?
Yeah, when they use river water, they use the water for cooling. The water doesn't really ever come in contact with the chemicals or the process themselves. However, they have to clean the water when they get it out of the river, so they have to filter it. And the Department of Environmental Quality and EPA requires the water to be at a certain level when you return it to the river. So there are processes in place both when the water comes in and when it goes back out.
Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana with Greg Bowser.
Hey, I think, you know, the media, the local media really gives chemicals and refineries a bad rap. And you see these people that are against big chemical and refineries. And then you look at the picture of them, and they may have a house with vinyl siding. They have a car in the background. And they use the very products that we make in these plants and refineries. And we do it a lot better and cleaner here in the United States than they do in foreign countries. And I just think, and this is how we build our wealth. He talked about the high salaries the workers make. That all filters down to the rest of Louisiana.
Well, I think you're exactly right. When you think about everyday life, Jim, chemicals and the things that we manufacture, a lot of it right here in Louisiana, it touches you from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed, and in some cases, even when you're asleep. Those are the things that make our lives easier and more productive. And so we all need that, and we all use it. So you have to be careful what you wish for. If those things go away, I think they're going to be manufactured. The question is, will it be here in the United States, or will we be buying it from another country at an exorbitant price?
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on Talk Louisiana with Greg Bowser.
Yeah, Mr. Bowser, do you get much teasing to this day about the fact that your football years were the very ones where Tulane got the better of LSU?
3 out of 4 years you lost to Tulane.
Yeah, that's a stat I'll never forget or live down. I've got some friends at Tulane. They say they love to see me because I remind them of happier times, and that's just tough, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's one of the worst things I can think of, Jim.
Well, Tulane in those years that Greg played, some of them had a quarterback named Rock Hontas, and then one named Nicky Hall, and then one Mike McKay. They were all very good. Yeah. Hontas was really good, and he's from Canton, Ohio. He stayed in Louisiana. He's a doctor. He would be a good guest sometime, Dan. Yeah. But, Greg lost 3 out of 4 years to the Greenies.
Wow.
And, you know, in 1981, which was the only bad year, Yeah, that was a really bad year. 3-7-1 Tulane won 48-7 in the Superdome. And then some Tulane hooligans came to the campus at LSU and let Mike the Tiger out.
Yep, that's right.
It took 13 officers to lift him onto a truck after he'd been knocked out. They had to...
I remember going to practice, and we were walking down the hill to go to practice, and one of the guys ran into the police station and said, "The Tiger is out." And we all thought, "You got to be kidding me." And sure enough, man, he was out. They finally guided him onto the track and tranquilized him.
David in St. Francisville. David, you're on with Greg Bowser. Hi, David.
Greg.
Hey, yes. David.
Yes. I wanted to return to the discussion on the industrial tax exemption program. And clearly there are times where it's important to provide those types of incentives, particularly to attract new industry into the state. But Louisiana has kind of gone overboard on that. We currently have over $80 billion of local property taxes that is off the rolls. Well, $80 billion of property that's not being taxed. And it's more, much more than any other state in the nation. Texas only has $3 billion that's off their tax rolls. It would seem like to me that it would be beneficial to the people of Louisiana to have more tax revenues coming in so we can do better schools and better police protection instead of giving so much of it to large industry. What's your take on that?
Well, I think you have to remember what you talk about. You talk about an investment and you talk about an incentive to get someone to make that investment. The question is, if you don't give that incentive, do you have that business investment? That's kind of the trade-off. You just have to look at it. Is it worth the investment? Should the state, in other words, just put up the money like some states do, the cash inducement, or exempt the property for a total? And let's remember, it's only a 10-year exemption. So the property will go on the roll at 15% of value when it does versus 10% of residential value.
But if David's numbers are right, and I know David, he's an erudite guy, $80 billion is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, and and I'm not sure if all of that is industrial property or not. But one of the things that really struck me was when you take a look at what the Commerce and Industry Board or the Department of Economic Development looks at, look at how much of that's coming on the roll now. What happens to areas when that property hits the tax rolls?
Stuart downtown. Stuart, you're on the air with Greg Bowser.
Great, Jim. Mr. Bowser, to the audience, good morning. Mr. Bowser, why does not a mechanism exist to be able to capture the emissions before they contaminate the atmosphere? I'd love to hear your response.
David, I think that's a good question. I think there are mechanisms in place to reduce the emissions. And what you're talking about is basically, and I heard this about 10 years ago, people were talking about going zero emissions. Well, you're going to have some emissions that come out. What we do is try to reduce those emissions down to a manageable level. And as technology improves, it'll continue to ratchet it down.
Mm-hmm. A listener online, talk@talklouisiana.org, asks about these neighborhoods that are generally around chemical plants. Quite often they are in disrepair. Is that a setback? Will it ever change?
Well, first of all, I think those neighborhoods, in many cases, you do have that, and there are reasons for that. I'm not going to go into it. It varies from neighborhood to neighborhood. But the bigger question is it going to change? I certainly hope so. I think we're going to try to change it. We're going to try to do that. When I say we, I'm talking about the collective we in terms of the chemical industry as well as the people in the neighborhood and even government. Everybody has to do that. One of the things that the COVID virus taught us, Jim, is that some people are hit harder by it than others, and we've got to address that. And a lot of that has to do with income levels and economic status. And so we're going to try to work with our neighbors to make the neighborhoods better.
Peter Rica writes, we all agree Exxon is important to our state. Why does East Baton Rouge Parish shoulder most of the burden of support? Why should tax breaks not be in the form of some at the state level? That's Peter's observation, and I think some of the tax breaks are at the state level.
Some of them are at the state level. The state kicks in as well. The state has certain tax incentive programs that they give companies to attract them.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I'm not sure if you know the answer to this, but I'm wondering why Exxon continues to use the clean fresh water from the Baton Rouge aquifer.
They have a good deal, and they'd like to keep it. Is that a necessity?
Well, it is a necessity to use a lot of water. Here in Louisiana, one of the things that we do is that if you own property and the water that's underneath your property, if you have the right of capture, you have the right to use that water, and just like any other landowner does.
Well, Greg Bowser, I mentioned you came to LSU in 78. We're about to visit with a gentleman who was the first African-American athlete to participate at LSU. He enrolled in 1969. To think that you were less than a decade removed from the very first black athlete at LSU, that's a sobering thought, isn't it?
That is, and I had not thought about that, Jim. That is a very, very sobering thought. You know, you think about how much progress we've made, and I think we have made progress. We've got a lot more to do, but it doesn't seem that long ago.
No. Doesn't for not. Those of us of similar vintage. But thank you,
right.
Greg.
Thank you, Jim.
Good to visit with you as always. And we'll be back with Lloyd Wills when we return.